Good day, and welcome to Sea to Ski with Sarah and T, putting the P in professionally managed vacation rentals. This is the Vacation Rental Management Professionals Podcast, coming to you from the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
And from the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. I'm Sarah Bradford from Winter Park and Steamboat Springs.
And I'm Tim Cafferty from the Outer Banks of North Carolina and Sandbridge, Virginia. Together, we bring you the first podcast focused solely on professionally managed vacation rentals across the nation, or as we like to call it, Sea to Ski
with Sarah and T.
In the next 30 minutes, we hope you'll join us on a journey as we dive into issues affecting folks like us, the professional vacation rental manager, allowing you to run your business more effectively, make more money, and most importantly, have fun doing it.
We're back and better than ever. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Tim.
And today we have our first international podcast. We have Johan and Gael from Tavada Chalets in Canada. We're getting really big, Tim. We are going international, and we're so happy to have them. Can you guys say hi?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
So these two are some of our biggest fans. You remember when we started this thing several months ago, we said we wanted to start to interview people. Johan was one of the first people we heard from, and so now he's on the podcast. How about that?
Yeah, and we've never met these two before, and so we're really excited they're joining us. We can't believe we actually have fans. Thanks for listening to our podcast.
Great. It's a really, it's a good pleasure to be here. I mean, we couldn't really imagine we could be on the podcast.
Yeah, we're still a bit like starstruck.
So tell us about your particular business, where you are, and how it happens.
Good. So just to put like a pin on a map, we are Canada in the province of Quebec. Quebec City, like the capital of the province, we're about 2.5 hours up north. And it's like 2 hours drive in a forest. And then you come here and it's a huge region where you have a big lake that's really, it's like a sea. It's 30 kilometers of diameter. It's really big. And then you have a fjord and you have ski mountains. It's really good destinations for winter and summer.
It's a great market when you have a lake. It's a good season left for the summer. And also, like, in the winter, we have the key mountains. So we really have, like, 3 months of low season.
Tell us how you got started and how many properties you have up there.
We started when we were in Brazil. Gail was studying abroad for half a year. My mom, like, she had a house, like a beautiful, almost 100-year-old house, which is pretty old for our region. She told me she was tired of paying like for the bills, and I told her about Airbnb. That I just heard about Airbnb in the whole region. Now we have like more than 700, 800 listings in the region, and back then there was like 5 or 6. So anyway, we took out the house, put it like online on Airbnb, just like that. And we managed the whole thing from Brazil, and it went crazy. Like, it was rented like every single day of every single month. I'm not exaggerating. It was close to 90%.
We were doing it to help Johan's mom, but we didn't make any money out of it. It was just because she didn't have time to do all the messaging on Airbnb and all that. So we were just, without knowing it, we were kind of practicing for later.
Right. And then when we came back, we
try it because it was doing really well with his mom's house. And then, well, everybody here were just saying, this is not going to work. There's nobody's going to give you their properties to rent and all that. And so we just tried and it slowly take off. We're doing pretty good, like 2 years later. So,
How many homes are you managing now?
Now we are exclusively managing cottages. At first, we were doing apartment houses, pretty much anything that had a roof and walls, because we wanted to survive, you know, like the business. We wanted to create something. And now we exclusively have cottages. We have 24 cottages under management.
The number kind of changes because some of them are for rent only during the summer or seasonal. So it's around like 20 to 25.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yep.
And so we were talking before the podcast about the challenges you face. And one of the challenges you face was the large area that you manage the property. And we were talking the other day, and you were at a property that was nearly an hour away from where you live. So give us a perspective of how much space you have to cover.
In the beginning, we got like anything that had a wall.
Actually, we're really excited when someone in a new city was offering our property. We're like, well, we're going to be in a new city, so we will always say yes. But we've made some mistakes also with that.
We took on properties that were like 6 hours away, but it wasn't really in the region itself. So now we have like the farthest we have one of our properties in Quebec City, which is about 2 hours and a half from where we live. Other properties are about, like you said, like an hour. We're more centralized. We're more focused into two different places in the region, which is one of the side of the lake where the beach is called the best. And also like near the ski resort, which is quite nice because it's really up north. So all the snow there is natural. Something like this is getting more and more rare in the province.
So Johan, that just blows my mind. I mean, how do you figure out how the cleaners get to each property, or if someone has a light bulb out or they need something, how are you managing properties that literally are 6 hours away?
Yeah, well, it's still sometimes a bit of a struggle. It depends. We got kind of good to logistic. For instance, like these light bulbs, make sure to have like a box somewhere that is locked and if one burns. But we say that, but right before we talked to Tim before the podcast, we were at a cottage to change light bulbs. But it was one really close to home, like it was 5 minutes away.
Yes, but like basically for the cleaning team, we have someone in each. We need to find someone new in each city that goes to one or two cottages. So at first it was really hard to find people because some of those places are really small. They're like 200 people living there. So it was really hard to find someone to do that. Now it's getting better because we focus on two regions. I mean, we've learned, like we said, because that property that was 6 hours ago, it happened so many times that it was not supposed to be anyone there. And then someone came and just like kind of squat the place. So we had to call the police and it was really far. And then neighbors were calling us. So finally we just said, we're not going to take this property anymore to the owner. And
so it sounds to me like in a perfect world, you're trying to get them more closer together and be in one region because there is no great solution to having them all spread out. Is that true?
Yeah, like we discovered that a few months back because at first we thought, well, we'll go global. A year ago, we talked about going into downtown Quebec City, which is really touristic. There's people from all over the place that go to Quebec City because it's really beautiful. And if you visit one day, you'll see that it's just like in France. It's really cool. But we realized that to manage a property that is so far away and that would have like so many changeovers during the month, that would be like suicidal.
I also would think the marketing would be really tough because you're trying to get people that would want to go to Quebec City, but then also people that want to go to the ski resort, but then people that want a summer cottage. You'd have to be going crazy with keywords and how you're attracting different people.
Yeah, and also if I can say for the owners, when, for example, if someone has a property really far and is calling us, I guess that owner will expect us to be close to the property so we can go there easily. If there's something happening, we can go check if there's an accident or something, a fire, because most of those owners are living some abroad, some in different parts of the country. So I guess if we say, oh, we're living in our region here, but we manage a property in Montreal, it wouldn't make sense for the owner.
So tell us about your competition. It sounds like you are starting a new industry in the area. Do you have many competitors, and what's the market?
To our knowledge, we have one competitor. It's I know it's crazy. Like the region has, I don't know, 350,000 people, pretty much. One of the big listing sites that we use, which is not Airbnb, a website especially for cottages renting, 130 cottages on that website. And from that number, we have 24. We kind of have like a big chunk, you would say like a big chunk of the market, which is pretty comfortable.
In other parts of the province of Quebec, in the big cities, there's other company that does the same thing. But here it was really new when we started. That was a challenge as well, because we kind of had not only make marketing, but educate people on short-term rentals and that we can be there to manage it for them. But now with Airbnb, people more know about short-term rentals than they used to.
It just changed like everything. People got to know that short-term rental exists. at least in our region, it was the case.
So tell me about how you are getting new properties. It would seem like there would be a great opportunity for you to grow your company. Is that the case?
Yes, it is. Actually, like we say no like way more often than yes. We select our properties. That's one of the perks of being like almost alone in the big region. If we would have said yes to everyone, we would have 80 properties at the moment, but some of them would be, for lack of a better word, like crappy, almost wanting to fall down. So how we do our marketing is mostly like word of mouth. Really, like we have a client, we have a customer, and it's not so much of a big region. So pretty much everyone knows everyone, at least the people that have cottages. It's even like a smaller population. Yeah, it's word of mouth. Like we do not, we send some flyers by mail, mm-hmm. by regular mail. We send like a flyer to say like we manage and we can make revenue for you in short-term rentals.
Now, 2 years later, we have the luxury to say no if the property is not with our standards or in the specific cities that we targeted. So
exactly.
It's nice, finally.
Yeah. Finally, yeah.
So I was just thinking two things. One, what an interesting market, Tim, right? You and I are in markets where everybody's talking about vacation rentals and they've done this for years and it's who are they going to use? Mm-hmm. Whereas where these two are, it's almost like an owner might say, oh, good, I've been wanting to rent my place, but there hasn't been an option. Is that true?
Exactly. Yep. we get like this response pretty often, actually.
The other thing I was thinking about is that you got started on Airbnb, and I'm going to guess that a lot of your bookings still come from third-party sites, which I'll let you confirm in a sec. But I thought about this the other day that we rip on using VRBO and Airbnb and third parties so much. And we had Michelle Hodges on here who went cold turkey, and we know Tim doesn't use them very much at all. But when you're launching a brand new company, I got to say that launching it using third parties is a quick way to start getting bookings. And that's what I've found in Steamboat. It's not that it's all bad to use them, and they can be an avenue for someone like these two to just get launched fast and finding guests without having to create an incredible website that somehow comes up above everything else. What do you think of that?
Yeah, of course, because when we started, our website was just one page and it pretty much just explained what we were doing. So to use Airbnb and other platform, like third parties platform, it's so much easier because you don't have to pay for the marketing. Someone in France can be booking your cottage and you don't have to pay to market in France. So it's a cheaper way. And then we starting to have people that are coming back and now they're calling us directly. So the first time it's a good, those websites are a good channel for the first booking, but then you have to find a plan to be able to next time have them call you directly or go on your website and book directly. So it's a challenge to convert them for like next time, but once they're happy about the places and about the service we give, then usually they just come back.
And we do that by like branding our places. Like we have, for instance, we'll install a sign in front of each cottage saying that this is the name of that cottage and managed by Tawara Chalet. Everything like in the place as well has to have our logos, names, phone numbers, so that we're sure that the next time they won't go directly on, for instance, Airbnb. It's not that we do not like Airbnb itself. It's just that booking direct is just, for us, like, how do we say that? Like a no-brainer.
Yeah, and that's the big takeaway for me is you started a business for 2 years and didn't even have a booking engine. You just used Airbnb, and I assume you use VRBO. I bet Airbnb is bigger for you. Is that a correct assumption?
VRBO is almost inexistent.
Yeah, VRBO, they're not working here.
Yeah, your Airbnb listings, are they all in French?
They are. Some of them are translated, like I translated them in English, but I think Airbnb also uses Google Translate to translate it automatically.
Okay, so first of all, I want to talk about goals, long-term goals for your company. But before that, I think we need to make it clear, Sarah, I'm not sure if you realize, our guests are engaged to be married. So congratulations. One of your goals, I guess, is to make it to the marriage.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. It's brand new, actually.
He proposed last week.
Oh, yeah, and she said yes. I didn't expect that. She said yes.
Is that because you were going to be on the podcast? You wanted to be able to announce it?
Well, now that you say it, like, I'm pretty happy that every listener you have know about it now.
Yes. Okay.
Congrats.
So talk to me about the long-term goals for your company.
Now we're kind of in a place where we have enough revenue. We can start hiring people because the cleaning ladies, we... kind of have their own company and we just have a contract with them. So yeah, because when you start this business, you have to be like always available 24/7. And then when something happens, you have to go there. So if you want to take vacation, like this year, I had to take vacation on my own. And then I came back and then Johan went to vacation. Oh, so we really want to change that. So to be able to hire people to start working on the business and not in the business anymore, that's short-term goal. Of course, eventually we would like to be able to buy some properties as well and manage them as well. So
yeah, and make the, not the switch, but like we'll continue to manage, like I think forever, because well, at least the time that we'll do this, going in the direction of buying as well, like our first property, like our first vacation rental property. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, we will look forward to seeing how those goals come to life. The other thing I wanted to touch on, Sarah, that I talked to these two about before, I thought was fascinating, was the whole idea of an inspections process of the properties. And they do it a little different in Quebec, let's just say. Talk to us about the whole inspector system and the rating system with the province and so on. How does that work?
Yeah, because in Canada, every province has its own government. So the government in Quebec, actually short-term rental, is with the Ministry of Tourism, I guess would call it. And they have this regulation that has been there for ages, which is if you want to do short-term, you need a special permit. And basically, it's a permit you put on the door and they give you stars. So if it's the 3 or 4 or 5 star place. So basically, when you want to add a new property to rent, you have to go online and then send a request, and then they will call you to just check point by point if what you wrote is correct, and then they're going to send this request to the city. And the thing is, there's every city has its own special rules about short-term rentals, so a lot of them don't allow it in some parts of the cities. So you have to check first with the city if the cottage you want to rent or the apartment, the house, if it's in a place where you can do this kind of business. And if it's not in a place like this, well, it's just too bad. And then it can take up to 2 months before they give you this kind of temporary permit. And then you can start to put online the property and you can start to rent. And it can take up to 2 years before an inspector comes and give you how many stars. Because, believe it or not, there's only 7 inspectors in the whole province.
So, Sarah, did you get that? So there's 7 inspectors in the whole province. You can't rent without a permit. The inspector rates the house on a star system, and you may have to wait 2 years before you can get a permit to rent the property. That's amazing.
Yeah. Actually, you can start renting when you have the temporary permit without any stars, but it can take like 2 years for the inspector to come and give you those stars.
And just to put it in perspective, like there's 7 million people, 7 million Quebecer. So that's 1 inspector per million people.
Yeah, because last week we had our first inspections in the cottages 2 years later. And it's just crazy. Those people, I mean, the guy he's really nice and he was about to quit his job because he's so tired. He works like 3 months in a row, 7 days a week. And he goes like from city to city. In every places, he has to take pictures and to count how many plates you have, how many forks and blah, blah, blah. If you have a DVD, if you have air conditioning. And then he sends that to, I don't know who in the government. And then later they give you stars. So I think it's really outdated system.
And it's every, you know, you understand that then you will have another inspection 2 years later. Like 2 years is pretty long time. So I believe, like, and everyone here knows, and even this inspector, I think, knows that it's outdated and that today, like, we have a rating system automatically, like, it's, like you have one, I guess, like on your website, we have one, Airbnb has one. Every single week, we have a rating. But which one is the better?
Yeah, I mean, this to me seems like a government decision made a long time ago that they've never changed. And the review system on listing sites plus our website keep owners and property managers honest. And that seems to be able to replace this antiquated system. Do guests even care what the stars are from this inspector? Does it matter if it takes 2 years?
No.
No, not at all.
What we say to the owners, like, we only want this temporary permit and we don't really care about how many stars we're going to get. Between seeing, oh, it's a 4-star place, but all the last bookings, everyone said it was a crappy place. Are you going to believe the people that were there like a week before, or the inspector that was there 2 years ago giving 4 stars?
Exactly. Well, send the legislators this podcast and see if you can make a change.
It's obviously not working. So
yeah, and there's so many, well, obviously, like all the hotels, like that's the whole like lobby of the hotels and bed and breakfast that are fully registered. And by the, just to say it, like the law was passed in 75, like 20 years before internet was even invented. So yeah, it's gonna change. Sure.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that when legislation's put into effect, it needs to be revisited often because it's antiquated quickly. But I think, Tim, that we need to go to rapid fire. What do you think?
It is time for rapid fire. This is our quick little game that we play with our guests where we ask them silly and sometimes inane questions. And you can answer with one or two words, or you can be a little longer. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Ready.
Sarah, you ready?
I'm ready.
First question, Yawn. What is your favorite episode of Sea to Ski with Sarah and T, other than this one?
The one about like the 11 things that makes your owner happy.
Good one. That was one of my questions, Tim.
Sorry about that.
All right, Gail, do you give any kind of welcome gift, and what is it?
We tried some. We had in the place next to some cottages we rent, there's a place, how do you call that? They make honey.
Yeah.
They have like bees and they make honey.
The place where they make honey.
So we would give out samples of honey and sometimes, because it's not the same thing every time, and sometimes we are there to welcome the guests, so sometimes we bring them like a fresh bread or some popsicles if it's like 30 degrees or something like this.
Right. We're really kind of say like spontaneous like that.
Yeah, and when it's a big reservation, sometimes we have like a bottle of wine or something. Okay.
And by the way, that's a beehive where the money, where the honey comes from, the beehive.
Okay, Gail, favorite season, summer or winter?
Oh my God, that's so hard. I guess for us in the business, I think winter is going to be a really good key because we started kind of saying, oh, we're going to make a lot of money in the summer and then just kind of use it during the year. But now we just changed our strategy in winter because for here, I mean, we're kind of more in the north. So winter starts in December and ends in April. So it's almost half of the year. And the summer is like July and August. So it makes sense that winter has to be the season.
And it's your favorite?
Yeah, I like winter. I don't like cold, but I like winter.
Yeah, you don't.
Interesting. Let's see, Yoan, how about texting guests? Do you text your guest for, during, and after their stay?
We try more and more to do welcoming call instead of welcoming text, which we did in the past. And we found that when you text someone, you know that a lot of communication is lost. I mean, you don't, when someone texts you like, yeah, the place is fine, you don't really know if they really express, yeah, the place is really fine, or if they say, yeah, the place is fine. So having a call like give you like a better feeling, and for the rest of the booking, the reservation, we feel like better and saying, knowing.
Yeah, and you make a connection with the guest.
Yeah.
So even though you never met them, at least you feel more comfortable to call you if there is anything, because you called them before, so.
Yeah, but they do text us, and when they do, like, we respond usually by a text. Of course, when they say, like, the place is on fire, we'll probably call.
Okay, this one is for either one or both of you. Skiing or snowboarding?
Skiing.
No, for me, it's snowboarding.
Yeah.
Yoan, you're my buddy now. Okay, let's see. What percent of your guests, roughly, are non-French speakers?
8%.
8%, yeah. It's mostly...
It's because you have to make a lot of driving to come to here. So I guess the only willing Europeans are the French people because they want to see the big spaces, the forests and all that. So they always come here. But like I guess when you come from other part of Canada or the US, it's maybe a little far away.
Johan, how about a gift or a talent that you do not possess that you would like to have?
A gift, you mean like a power? Can I say?
Sure.
Being invisible or flying? I don't know. That'll be... reading minds will be pretty cool, but I won't use it. I would use it for the good of everyone.
Of course you would.
Okay, let's see. Gail, do you charge for returning lost and found items?
I think we only charged a person once because we had to send it to friends. usually we pay for it because it's not that expensive. I mean, if it's less than $15, then we would pay for it.
Okay, email checking. Do you check it all day as they come in or only a few times a day?
I'd like to do it like just a few times a day, especially in the high season. Since yesterday we had 20 emails from it. Like 2 days ago, like just 20 booking requests. Yeah. But we do it like now, we do it like as soon as it gets to the phone. Yeah, it follows us, you know.
Whoever wants to answer this, white towels and sheets or colored?
I would say white. When we started, we were kind of more... opened and said to the owner as well, because we asked the owner to buy the towels and the sheets because they're going to keep them afterwards. But now I think it's better white because you can all put it together in the laundry, or you can the product to like make it more white.
Bleach.
If there's some stains on it. Bleach, yeah.
Yeah, did we mention that English is not our first language? I guess that's pretty obvious now.
Yeah, and in case I forget to say, could you imagine Tim doing a podcast in the language that is not your language? This is impressive.
We talked about goals before. How many properties will you manage in 3 years?
Rightly manage with the right staff and the right amount of people, I'd say 150 pretty much.
What?
Oh, yeah.
I was about to say 40.
Yeah, 150, but with the right team. Not just two of us. Sorry.
All right, we'll check back with you in 3 years. Okay, let's see. Set of bookings from VRBO. You said it's non-existent. What percent would you say comes
from?
Zero. Just zero. We have one listing there that is not even complete, and I just started to come to fill it like some time ago, like a year ago. And there's, I don't know, like six listings in the whole region that are on VRBO. I do not think they have even one booking out of VRBO.
That's amazing. How about Canada Stays?
It's pretty much the same. And I think Canada Stays is more for English-speaking population. And because we don't have a lot of them coming here, I guess we don't have any requests coming because of that.
Okay, well, as usual, you win nothing, but we do have great appreciation for you playing our game. So thank you for that. And so, Sarah, now it's time to wrap it up with not so hot off the press, but definitely happening.
Today we have a topic that nobody wants to talk about. And that is what we call, in our office, we call it the BB problem. And the word is bed bugs. And it might not be on Vera Mintel this week, and it might not be what everyone's talking about in the news. But bed bugs seem to be on the rise, if not steady, and no one is safe from getting these. They travel in suitcases. And so we thought today we'd bring this up for everybody that's avoiding the thought. You probably will get bed bugs in one of your properties if you get big enough. So Johan and Gael, they're going to be 150 properties in 3 years, and I almost guarantee they will deal with this. So, Tim, what is important to do and have ready if you do have the dreaded call that there are bugs biting somebody in their bed?
Well, it's a tough situation, Sarah, and you can't really question the person. When they say, I have bed bugs, you have to treat it very seriously and not dismiss it. And so you have to have a plan, I think, is what you're looking for. Just as we have a hurricane plan, and you might have a winter storm warning plan at your ski resort or what have you, you need to have a plan to how to deal with bed bugs. Do you have a go-to exterminator who will be on scene within a couple of hours? Have you trained your staff to be able to recognize what bed bugs look like and to quarantine the proper areas? And then there's the whole issue of guest relations. What is your plan going to be regarding the guest? Are you going to move them to another property? And who's going to pay for that? Is it the responsibility of the owner? Is it the responsibility of you as the manager? Is it the guest responsibility? Whatever it is, make sure you have a clear plan that your owners know in advance about what it's going to be. I'm hopeful that you two haven't had to deal with this in Canada. Have you seen or dealt with bed bugs yet, guys?
Not a single time. And the reason, one of the main reasons I think is because, we're pretty up north. Of course, when they travel in suitcases, there's no way to control that. We do use a mattress cover, so at least we got that, and the pillow cover as well. I heard at least that in Montreal, there's a company that opened like a place that is basically like a big a big freezer that is minus 35, so that if you have a mattress that is infected, they put it like in that freezer, and apparently they die at minus 35, minus 40, I don't know. But the good news is here we do not even need that, because in winter, at least if we have the problem in winter, sometime we get to minus 40. Outside it is minus 40, so we could just put the mattress outside.
Okay. I've never even heard of the freezing. I've heard that you should only go with the, because sometimes they want to do chemical treatment. I've heard you should only go with the hot treatment, the heat treatment, but I will say that Winter Park is one of the coldest places in the world. In fact, it was once named the coldest place in the 48 contiguous states, and we get bed bugs. I hate to say it publicly, but it's happened. So you're not safe, and you got to have a plan. So I just want to say to everyone out there to think about what your plan is. Make sure your staff is ready on how to handle it. We have a procedure that even when our staff goes in, they have to have clean clothes leaving the property, and then their clothes have to be washed in a dryer, because you can spread bed bugs very quickly. And also guests, they have to leave their clothing and their belongings in the property to truly be sure they're not taking them with them. And that's an incredibly uncomfortable conversation to have with a guest, that all their makeup's going to melt and stuff like that. Oh, so you got to talk about it. And that's what's not so hot off the press, but definitely happening around the world.
Very good. Well, we certainly appreciate Jan and Gail for being with us today on the podcast. We hope people have had some great takeaways. It was great perspective. And we wish you both the best on your upcoming marriage. Thanks for being on the podcast, guys.
Thanks to you guys.
Thanks. It was a pleasure.
Now we're going to say au revoir. A bientôt.
So long, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Sea to Ski with Sarah and T, Professional Vacation Rental Managers podcast, brought to you by Sarah Bradford of Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, as well as Tim Cafferty of Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue Realty Services. Together, Sarah and Tim manage more than 600 privately owned vacation rental properties, and both are regarded as experts in the vacation rental management industry. Music provided by Ben Sound. We encourage your participation on this podcast by sharing it with friends, and please feel free to rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Comments or reviews on this particular podcast can be made on their website, seatoskiwithsarahandt.com, where you can also subscribe to the podcast, as well as provide them feedback on this episode or give them ideas for future topics. We look forward to speaking with you next time on Sea to Ski with Sarah and T.